Blog Talk Radio.
They said we could
stay in the cells at Long
Island. Absolutely.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
Country artist Jimmy Parker is known as the real deal. It only takes those first few moments listening to a song of his to know that what you're hearing is country through and through. Jimmy joins me today to talk about his music career and share some of his best songs, and I'm really looking forward to this. My pleasure to welcome Jimmy Parker. Hey, Jimmy.
Hi, Dave. I really thank you for this opportunity to be on the air with you, especially up there in Toronto, Canada, where I know it's probably colder than here in Nashville.
But, it is.
But nevertheless, it's a great opportunity for me.
Well, it's a pleasure to speak with you, Jimmy, and I've been looking forward to having you on the show since visiting your MySpace site a while back and listening to your music and reading about what your fans think of you and your music, and it's quite something. So we've got several songs lined up to share with our listeners, including a very powerful song of yours called A Soldier Is Worth It to Me. And we'll get to all the music, but let's head back in time. Jimmy, can you share with our listeners and me when you first got hooked on music?
Well, I started playing piano early age, and my parents saw that I had a little talent, so they gave me lessons, and I progressed through that for about 6 years. Then in high school, I started learning how to play a guitar and got in some high school bands, you know, doing things on weekends and playing dances and so forth, and made money like that. And then I didn't really take it serious enough to want to make a career out of it until I got out of school and I got to listening to country music and said, you know, I can do that. And I'd heard country all my life, but when I started playing it, it just came natural to me, I guess, or it made me fall in love with it is what it did. And so I've been basically doing it ever since, and it's probably been about 30 years into business for me right now.
30 years altogether?
Yes.
So
not playing music altogether, but into business. I started making a living at it in the early 80s and moving around and playing around, making my living doing it, and then moved to Nashville, of course, in 1990, and I've been here ever since.
And Jimmy, who were some of the influences, looking back, when you, either before you started pursuing country music or when you got into it, who are some of the artists in the field that you look up to?
Well, that brought me into country music, is that what you're asking?
Yes, exactly.
Definitely the greatest, Merle Haggard. To me, he's the greatest. The guy sings and sings and sings, and even at his age today, the guy can still carry a tune and sing great. But him, I got some influence from Lefty Frizzell. I used to love the way he sang. Jim Reeves, that very smooth baritone voice that he had, that was an impressive artist to me. I loved Keith Whitley when he came out in the 80s. He had great songs great vocals, and I really loved him. He was a great artist, and I didn't basically try to copy his style, but some of the songs that he had out were just fantastic, which I do in my shows, and I just recorded one of his called I'm Over You. It's kind of like a tribute from me to Keith, because I loved that song.
Great song of his, for sure.
Johnny Cash and songwriters, you know, people like Rodney Crowell, a great songwriter, you know, others, and Rick Tiger, Earl Clark, people like that, just really, really great songwriters. And they all influenced me as far as my singing and my writing styles, too.
And where does the writing for you, Jimmy, fit into that? How far back do you recall getting into your first couple of songs?
Well, back in the early days, I tried to write. I put it that way. I tried, and I'm still trying, really. you know, sometimes songs come out, and sometimes they don't. I will not say that I am a prolific writer, but I do write songs. I wouldn't play everything I've written for people. A lot of my songs have probably ended up in the garbage can. But I try to write something that I feel that I'm inspired by. You know, usually sometimes an idea or title, you know, title type thing will hit me, and I can't wait to get back home or get with somebody to write it. And sometimes I've had songs that a song I wrote with Earl Clark called "You'd Make a Cheater Out of Me." I took that song in my head. I didn't even write the idea down. I had that song in my head for 20 years before I sat down and wrote it. And
wow,
got with Earl Clark and we finished it up and all. And it's just it's basically what I feel at the time. And if it's really inspiring to me, I'll usually write. But I really I won't say envy, but I really do admire the writers who can sit down day after day and write songs. I wish I could do that.
They seem like machines, and the artists I've talked to who co-write with those kind of writers, like you say, they're writing day in and day out, and they're just, I mean, it just keeps on coming.
I know, and it's like, where do they find the words? I mean, I've got a dictionary here at the house that's about 8 inches thick, and, you know, it's still a chore for me to write some songs now and then. So I basically push myself as a singer. And I try to find songs, if I don't write them, find songs that are good. And my philosophy is, as a recording artist, it doesn't matter who wrote the song. If it's a good song, it's a good song.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely true. And with the songs that are pitched to you and the style you do, which is along the classic ends, do you have some songs that you've covered that are originals for you? Maybe you haven't written them, but they've been pitched to you, that you say, wow, if George Jones were to record this, or a legend like him, this could have been one of those great hits.
I hear him all the time. One of the songs that I have out now called Another Her, written by the Mears brothers, Jim and John Mears, great writers. I'm surprised that song has never been picked up and made a big hit. I have a lot of my fans want to know if I wrote that song or whatever, but a lot of fans love that song, and it's a great song, and it really tells a story, and I think a lot of people have been there before. It doesn't, even on the female side, instead of Another Her, they could say Another Him, you know,
yeah,
basically. But, you know, it's just a love gone, and you're telling yourself or you're telling your listeners that, you know, it'll never be another person like that person. So songs like that, A Love of My Life. Well, actually, that was a hit song. I'm sorry. That was a hit song for Sammy Kershaw back in the early 90s, and I covered
great
it.
Tune.
But it's just songs like Another Her, My Everything. That was another one that the Mears brothers wrote. That's got a little pop feel to it, but great song, the way they used the words everything, nothing, something, you know, all of those words like that together in the song, and it just came out really great.
Well, what do you think it is about sad songs, Jimmy? Of course, there's so many of them in country music, not only those kind, but obviously a lot of those. What do you think it is about sad songs that we as listeners want to hear?
Well, first off, a lot of times I'll tell my audience, you know, I love sad songs because they make me happy. but the sad songs in country music, I think, are popular because a lot of people have lived that experience.
Right.
They may not know how to say it, or they may not know how to get it out in words, but then this song comes out that just touches you, and you feel it because you've lived it before. And finally, somebody comes out with a song and tells it like it is, and you can relate to it. And I think a lot of it, we all go through ups and downs in life, and nobody is perfectly happy every day. We have a dynamics in life that take us up and down, and we feel different things several times in our lives. And I think music is the expression of that, and we can relate to a lot of songs. Even the upbeat, fast songs we can relate to at times. But a lot of sadness is in life, and we have to deal with it. We have to live with it. We have to be positive thinkers to get over things that make us sad, and sometimes music is what does it.
Those are great thoughts, Jimmy. Now, I want to share some music, and speaking of sad songs, we've got a song of yours called Jack and Hank, and I'll let you talk about who those two characters are in the song. I'll give away one of them, Hank Williams, and just let you know that my dad is the biggest Hank Williams fan I know, and he loves his music. So with that, I'll let you talk about the song.
Okay, Jack and Hank was, I had the Mears Brothers, it's another Mears Brothers song. They called me up and wanted to know if I'd record a song for them, and I told them, of course, and they had written this song. They sent it over to me, so I learned it. We went in the studio and recorded it, and I believe it was John, he sang the harmonies with me on it, but I really liked the song. It had a little bit of an upbeat feel to it, and a lot of times, you know, in lost love, some guys will turn to the bottle to get over it, and that's what this particular guy is doing. He's sitting there one night, and he finds Hank Williams on the radio with a bottle of Jack Daniels, and he tears it up. So that's basically what the song is saying.
This is a great song, and we'll share it now with our listeners. This is the real deal himself, Jimmy Parker and Jack and Hank on In the Country.
All she left was this old radio and a dusty bottle of Jack, and a note here on the table said she's never coming back. So I cracked that bottle open and I turned that radio on, and the station that was playing a Hank Williams marathon. Oh yeah. Now, the first thing I heard a song about a cheating heart, and after what she put me through, that's a real good place to start. Then Hank started whining about how to get a cold, cold heart to melt, and those long gone lonesome blues were the only thing I felt. Jack and Hank, I'm inclined to think they're a dangerous combination. Hank starts moaning those lovesick blues on an all-night country station. She starts drinking, and Jack gets you thinking he's gonna be your salvation. Jack and Hank, they're a dangerous combination. Man, they were playing about every song Hank ever sang. Between the whiskey and the tears, you know I could barely feel a thing. By the time he started moaning, I'm so lonesome I could cry. That bottle of Jack was almost gone, so was I. Jack and Hank, I'm inclined to think they're a dangerous combination. Hank starts moaning those lovesick blues on an all-night country station. He starts drinking, Jack gets you thinking he's gonna be your salvation. Jack and Hank, they're a dangerous combination. Oh yeah, they are. Oh, Montgomery, Alabama, and Lynchburg, Tennessee. Tonight you know their favorite sons are working over me. That old number 7 gets me feeling bulletproof. Then Hank starts to sing, and man, it brings me right back to the truth. Jack and Hank, I'm inclined to think they're a dangerous combination. Hank starts moaning those lovesick blues on an all-night country station. He starts drinking, Jack gets you thinking he's gonna be your salvation. Jack and Hank, they're a dangerous combination. Everybody knows, and history shows, it's no big revelation. Jack and Hank, they're a dangerous combination. Jack and Hank, I'm inclined to think it's a dangerous combination.
That is Jack and Hank, sung by our guest Jimmy Parker on the line with us. And a great song, Jimmy. Who are the writers on that one?
Jim Mears and John Mears, better known as the Mears Brothers.
Excellent. That is a great song. Got all the classic elements of a good country song. We're going to talk more, of course, about country music. I wanted to give you a chance, Jimmy, to talk about some great shows you've got coming up at the Isle of Capri Casino going on in Mississippi.
Yes. My good friend Benjamin Bourne works in there. He's an entertainment director, and he books me down in there quite a bit. And we love playing down there. It's a great organization to work with. The people at the Isle of Capri are great people. We'll be there Friday night and Saturday night from 9 to 1. And also on Saturday night, prior to our show, will be Billy Dean, who is a country music star. He had Billy the Kid, I believe it was one of his hit songs. But he'll be there on the main stage. I think his show starts around 7:30 or 8 o'clock. And then we'll start performing at 9, and we'll play to 1 o'clock. So I've done several shows down there with some stars like that. Sammy Kershaw been down there, Aaron Neville, Joe Diffie, and Lori Morgan. And I have fun with that because they usually start around 8, and they're finished around 9 or 9:30. And then when we go on, I like to tell the audience I really appreciate the stars opening the show for me. And they're really not opening my show, but we have fun with that. And the audience gets a kick. And, of course, we get a lot of spill from the main stage acts after their show because we're just beginning. And they'll come through the casino area, and there we are. And, you know, they'll stand around, and some of them will stay the rest of the night to hear us play and sing. So. It's a lot of fun down there. I really appreciate the work that they give me, but that's the Isle of Capri. This one in particular is in Lula, Mississippi, just below Memphis, about an hour or so below Memphis. And it's a great organization to work for. And if Benjamin is listening, I would certainly like to thank him for the opportunities that he gives me to work there.
Awesome. Now, it sounds like you've had a chance to meet a lot of your musical idols or perform with them over the years. What has that been like, and can you sort of think of any one experience that stands out of somebody that you'd always wanted to meet from the country music world?
Well, I've met Tim McGraw, I've met Tracy Lawrence, I've met Jody Messina, just three for an example. Tim and I were buddies in the early 90s. He and I basically came to town around the same time. We used to pal around together, and when I got married in 1992, he was my best man.
Wow.
And, of course, after Indian Outlaw hit, of course, he reached the pinnacle of his dreams and everything. He's still going strong, and I'm proud of him. He's a great person, and he was always a good friend to me. He has great songs, and he's a great entertainer. If you've ever seen one of his shows, he puts on a really, really dynamite show. And Tim is a I haven't talked to him in a while. It's been about 3 or 4 years since I've talked to him. But he's a great artist, and I'm proud of him, and, you know, he should be proud of what he's accomplished, too. Tracy, the same way. He and I used to play around town. I helped him out with a job one time. He was, kind of low on the end there as a songwriter, singer, and helped him out. About 6 weeks later, he signs with Atlantic Records, and he takes off. And Joe D and I both were playing up in New England area in the 80s. And we used to play the same club circuit up there. And she moved to town, and we didn't have a relationship or anything, but we both were staying with a bunch of people in the same apartment until we could get on our own feet. And I got to know her pretty well. She's a very nice lady and sings really, really well.
And that's Jody Messina you're referring to?
Jody Messina, yes.
Yeah,
and,
great.
And then she, of course, got her deal, and she made it big and,
yeah,
and everything. I think, I've never gotten the break, but it hasn't bothered me that I haven't because I know who I am. My feet are planted on the ground, and I know what kind of a person I am. And, you know, if I make it, it's meant to be. If not, that's meant to be too. But I do what I do, and I do the best that I can, and I try to be the best that I can. So, but meeting people like that, it's a big inspiration.
That's awesome, and that is an inspiration because you're doing it because you love it, and that's what keeps you going.
That's right, and as long as I have a breath and the good Lord up above gives me the keeps loaning me the talent for it, and I have a dollar to go into the studio with, I'll continue to do it.
So let's talk about the studio and the CDs. You've had several of them out over the years, Jimmy, with a lot of great classic country sounds on there. First of all, We'll talk about the CDs, but can you tell us where our listeners can order them? Can they head over to your website to do that?
I've got one place right now, CD Baby. They've just gotten the real deal. They've got it up. You can buy the album in hard copy, or you can download the complete album digitally or individual tracks off the album digitally, and that's cdbaby.com/JimmyParker3, and that will take you right to that site.
And that's the number 3?
Yes.
As opposed to spelling
baby,
it out. Okay.
cdbaby.com/JimmyParker3, the number 3.
Perfect.
And they can get the Real Deal album there. Now, the other two, Warm Love or More Than You Know, they have to order that through me. And they can do that by email. Just send me an email, and I'll get back with them and let them know what they have to do to get those CDs.
So you must feel pretty good with the CDs you've got out. What is it like for you going into the studio and working on a song and starting to hear it get produced and come to the end result?
It's fascinating, and it's magical. I'm one, when I go in, I don't like to get out unless I've done it right. I don't want any mistakes, and I have a producer that works with me really well on that end, and he's the same way. He's a perfectionist, and he won't let it out of his hands until it sounds right, too. And we both have a good rapport with each other. We don't get mad at each other. If somebody doesn't like something, okay, well, let's try something else, and we value each other's opinion and expertise, and he knows how to work me. He knows how I sing. He's known me for 20 years, and he knows what he can get out of me, and he gives me the opportunity to take line by line or phrase by phrase if I have to, just to get it exactly right.
That's very cool. Good, great approach. Well, let's turn back to the music now, Jimmy. And this is a song that you co-wrote, and I know there's a lot of meaning behind it, and you've had a great response to it. It's called A Soldier Is Worth It to Me. Do you want to talk about the other co-writer on it and then something about the song, and then we'll share it for everybody?
Okay. Donna Graham was my co-writer. She's here from Nashville. We met basically on MySpace and got to talking songwriting, and we decided we'd get together and write a song. So she came over one evening. And I was talking to her about an experience I had with a soldier and his wife at a restaurant, and I bought them dinner, and this actually happened about 3 or 4 years ago. And this was back in September when we got together, and it was right around 9/11, ironically. But she and I got together, and we talked about it. We started writing, and A Soldier's Worth It to Me came out, and I went immediately into the studio, recorded it, and my producer, Danny Muhammad, really loved the song, too, and he did most of the music on it. And I've released it on my record label, which is Heart to Heart Records. And mm-hmm. lo and behold, a lot of radio stations are playing it right now around the world on the Internet radio stations. And I've now picked up, I think, a couple of stations around the country or a few. Well, like I think El Paso, one of them radio stations has it. A couple of stations in Colorado have it. I believe one up in Wisconsin has it. And these aren't Internet stations, but just regular type radio stations.
Yep.
And everybody tells me they're getting great feedback with the song. And it's very popular also on the MySpace pages because a lot of people are emailing me and telling me they're taking the song and adding it to their page on their players. And it's just an honor and a very humbling experience to be going through to get all this feedback off of a song that you've written and that you've recorded and you're singing.
For sure, and it is a great song. We're going to share it now for our listeners. This is the song Jimmy was just talking about, A Soldier Is Worth It to Me. This is Jimmy Parker on In the Country.
A little cafe on the edge of town, having dinner with friends, talking about the war in Iraq, wishing that it would soon end. And through the door a soldier limped in with two little kids and his wife. I could tell by his smile with the scars on his face, they were the pride of his life. As I sat there I couldn't help but notice he had a hook for a hand. It reminded me of the price he's paid, how God do I thank this man. For those who fight for our right to be free, without them where would we be? We all should thank those in uniform. A soldier is worth it to me. I beckoned the waitress and told her my plan. I'd pay for the meal they'd eat. I didn't say a word to those I was with. Some things are better discreet. I got up to leave and walked by his booth. I looked and his eyes caught mine. I extended my hand, said, how are you? He answered, I'm doing just fine. I said, I want to thank you for sacrifices you've made, for the freedom you fought so hard to preserve. It's my honor, your bill has been paid. For those who fight for our right to be free, without them, where would we be? We all should thank those in uniform. A soldier is worth it to me. For those who fight for our right to be free, without them, where would we be? We all should thank those in uniform. A soldier is worth it to me. We all should thank those in uniform. That soldier was worth it to me.
That's Jimmy Parker, our guest on the line from Nashville, a song that he co-wrote with Donna Graham. The song is called A Soldier Is Worth It to Me. And you can find out more about Jimmy Parker at his website, jimmyparkermusic.com. You can also head over to CD Baby to get some of his music, download it, buy it there, cdbaby.com/Jimmy Parker and the number 3. So obviously with that song, Jimmy, you mentioned great feedback and quite moving feedback from the listeners.
Yes, I have, and I'm very honored and appreciative of all the people that like that song. And most of all, it does honor people who are in uniform, and I don't think it matters what country you come from. If you have people that are fighting for your right, the way you live, they deserve to be thanked. And I think our soldiers, you know, are going through a lot right now. And even Canada's soldiers, you know, they're going through a lot, I'm sure. And, you know, every time I see a person in uniform, I always try to thank them in some way or manner.
That's awesome. And a great way of doing it is, of course, with that song. And I'm sure soldiers who hear it themselves are quite touched as well. I wanted to turn to a question about cover songs, and we talked about some of your favorite artists earlier, but would you be able to answer the sort of top three cover songs that you really enjoy sinking your teeth into and delivering to the crowd?
Well, the three that I have right now on MySpace, Love of My Life, Ring of Fire, and I'm Over You, they're three of my favorite cover songs. And I've had people tell me, you don't want to do cover songs, you know, that's not going to make it for you. You know, you got to do original stuff. And that's all well and said, but, you know, to me, a good song is a good song. But the philosophy that I put behind doing a cover song is make it mine. Do something with it without tearing the song up, of course.
Right.
But do something with it that doesn't copy the original artist, but yet lays tribute to the song that that original artist put out. And if you listen to Ring of Fire, for example, now I did take that one and really did an instrumentation on that, totally different than what Johnny Cash had. And with Love of My Life, I did a couple of different things in it than Sammy Kershaw did in his version. And then I'm Over You, same with Keith Whitley. I did a couple of different aspects to the song than Keith did. But really, I didn't take away from the melodies of the song. And I'm hoping that I did justice to them when I did record them.
I know as a listener, I always enjoy hearing, as you mentioned, an artist doing a cover song, but doing something a little bit different with it, either maybe speeding it up or slowing it down, or just putting their own spin on it. And it can make it sound fresh, and yet, of course, it's in keeping with the original, but it just kind of has a new flavor to it.
Yes, it does. And that, I try to take that approach when I go to sing live and do shows where I have to do cover songs. I'm not in the concert arena yet, so a lot of my shows, they're dealing with cover songs. But I try to do them with a fresh approach so that the audience doesn't listen and get bored with them. I want them to be able to look up at the stage and think, wow, that guy sings pretty good. And
right.
If I was on that stage trying to copy those artists, that's when the boredom or people would probably get up and walk out. That's not to say that they don't get to walk out on me anyway. But they do, you know, I try to give an approach where they hear me and they don't hear Johnny or,
right.
or Waylon or Merle. You know, I want it to be kind of fresh for them.
Yep. Do you have any thoughts on, a lot of times magazines will do surveys on the top country songs of all time, and usually the one that lands up there is George Jones, He Stopped Loving Her Today. Then you get Conway Twitty, Hello Darling, and all those. Do you have one that you think of from time to time that sort of is the definitive country music song?
I Never Go Around Mirrors by Lefty Frizzell. It was written by Lefty and Whitey Schaefer. I actually recorded that song on my first album called Warm Love that I put out after my wife's death. But it's called I Never Go Around Mirrors, and just a great country song. And if you ever heard Lefty sing it, I can't come close to singing that good. And his brother, Alan, and his other brother, David Frizzell, I know very well, both of them, they've got cuts on it, and they did really well with it, too. But that song is one of the best country music songs I've ever heard. But now, you mentioned George Jones. I mean, how can you not say He Stopped Loving Her Today is not the epitome of what country music should be? That is a great song. Randy Travis had one out, On the Other Hand.
Yeah, great one.
And all, you know, it's just songs like that that can epitomize what country music is all about. And a lot of the writing that they did back in them days was so heartfelt and not bubblegumish. And I'm not trying to say that the songs they put out today are no good. It's just that some of them come out a little bubblegumish, or the writer maybe sat down and tried to maybe get a little rhyme there with something in it just to make it rhyme. But, you know, I like the older music. It just seems like to me it was more style in the singers and more style in the writing. Today, music is, for me, it's basically a lot of what we call, some people in Nashville call it cookie cutter music. You know, it sounds the same. A lot of the artists sound the same.
Yep.
But they're talented people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking their talent. They're talented people to be able to get out there and do it. But I prefer to listen to good traditional country music. That's where my forte sits. And
yeah, no, I hear where you're coming from, Jimmy. Yeah, times change and sounds change and
mm-hmm.
develop, but you're right, the 60s and 70s and the George Jones and Charlie Prides and Merle Haggards, that kind of music will never go away, and for those of us who love it, you never get tired of it. It's just awesome music.
It's longevity. Songs like that never die. You know,
that's right.
I had a song out called Party of One, and it's on my player on MySpace, and a lot of people love that song, and I've just got requested the other day, please put that song back up. So I put it back up on MySpace, and they're starting to listen to that again. And that was actually a song that was a hit song for me in New England area, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts area and all. Became a big jukebox hit and stuff like things like that. And I used to go up and do some concerts on that in the early 90s just off of that one song.
Wow.
And went up there and doing that, and it's still being played up there today. And they had that in the running one time. It was neck and neck with that particular song, Party of One, was neck and neck with He Stopped Loving Her Today on the radio stations up there on their listener call-ins. What song do you like? You know, and one week would be He Stopped Loving Her Today. The next week would be Party of One. So you never know. It's just a well-written song like that, it just is blessed with longevity.
Yep, never going to go away. Now, you mentioned MySpace and the fans there, and I love that site and great way to keep in touch with people, and in your case with the fans who love your singing. Do you have any thoughts or anything you'd like to say to our fans, whether they're actually on MySpace or wherever they're listening to us? Words for your fans, Jimmy.
They're great. I really appreciate the support. Being an unknown artist and all without a major record label deal or anything like that, it's hard to make your way through all of the other people that are trying to make it, all the other talented people. And I'm just very blessed to have as many fans that I have that have ordered my records and have taken them and spread them around and let other people hear them and send them to me. So I'm thankful and I'm very blessed to have the fans that I have. And some of them I've even made very good friends with.
Terrific. We're going to let our listeners know how they can win some CDs of yours. We got a prize pack, which we're going to talk about. But want to play another song of yours, which is called Chains. And if you can tell us the writers on this one, Jimmy, and anything about the song, and then we'll spin it for everyone.
I heard this song back right before I even started doing, really getting back heavily into music and all. And when I got into writing, this was about 6 years ago. My wife passed away in 2003. And I started, you know, leaning back into my music for therapy, I guess you'd say, to mm-hmm. try to, you know, keep myself positive and everything. And my next door neighbor, Shelley Rand at that time, who was a great female singer, one of the greatest I've ever heard, and a great writer. I went to listen to her sing one night, and she sang the song. And it put chill bumps on my arms. And I talked to her, and I said, Shelley, I'm thinking about doing an album. And I said, if I do, can I record Chains? And she said, yes, by all means. So it was written by Shelley Rand, Mark Rossi, and Larry Wayne Clark. All three of them are great writers. They've been writing a long time. And I thank Shelley for letting me cut this song, and I hope she liked it. She told me she did. But this is the cut that I got on it. I did with was produced by David Johnson in Hendersonville, Tennessee, just outside of Nashville. And I thought he did a pretty good job with it. And the song, I've had some people even email me after they bought the albums and said that was one of the favorite songs on the album. So Chains, very good song.
Excellent. It sure is. Thanks, Jimmy. We'll share that now. This is Jimmy Parker and Chains here on In the Country.
Chains rusted by the tears that flow, follow everywhere I go, dragging them behind me. Chains pull me like the changing moon, rattle in my silent room. Even now they bind me. You said you loved me, you swore your words were real. Now each promise lies in pieces at my heel, just like broken links of steel in these chains. Dreams bitter as a hemlock hug. Every day when I wake up, your vision comes to haunt me. Pain aching down inside my bones, since you left me here alone, told me you don't want me. You said you love me, you swore your words were real. Now each promise lies in pieces at my ears,
just like broken links of steel in these chains. You said you loved me, you swore your words were real. Now each promise lies in pieces in my ears, just like broken links of steel in these chains. In these chains. Ooh, chains. Can't break these chains.
And that's Jimmy Parker on the line with us from Nashville. There he is singing the song Chains. You can find out more about Jimmy at jimmyparkermusic.com. Lots of information there. He's also got a MySpace site, as well as you can purchase some of his music, his CDs or single songs, at cdbaby.com/JimmyParker and the number 3. Now, we've got a few moments left here, Jimmy, and in that time, let's talk about you're going to do some giveaways of your CDs, and
okay,
it's going to work through email. So you want to let our listeners know how that can happen?
Yes. If I could mention real quick, Shelly Rand, who co-wrote that song with the other two, she was actually singing the background vocals
for
me on that song, too. She's a really talented lady.
And I've heard her demo work and her also her own songs, and she is terrific, as you say.
She's terrific. Yeah. We're talking about giveaways, right?
Yep, you got it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to I'll give a person right now all three of my CDs plus a complimentary copy of A Soldier Is Worth It to Me on a single. Right now, if anybody wants to email me, the fifth email that I get, number 5, the fifth email that I get at realdealjp@gmail.com. That's realdealjp@gmail.com. The fifth emailer writes it to me and tells me they heard the interview and want my CDs, I will send them a package of all three CDs along with the complimentary copy of A Soldier's Worth It to Me.
Well, that's a great prize, Jimmy, and I know that fifth emailer is going to definitely enjoy that, and so we'll wish all those people good luck, all the listeners. Now, so we're just getting set to wrap things up, Jimmy. I really want to thank you for coming on the show. Been a pleasure to finally talk with you and, of course, to share your great country music. I do enjoy it tremendously, and thanks so much for being part of this.
You're very welcome, and I thank you, too, for the opportunity. Anytime I get a chance to get out and talk and let my fans hear me and to talk with new people such as yourself, Dave, this is our first conversation. It's been very enjoyable, and I appreciate it very, very much.
Awesome. You have yourself a great day, and I'm sure we'll be talking again in the future. Looking forward to it. My guest today has been... I look forward to that as well, too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Jimmy. Have a great night. My guest today has been country artist Jimmy Parker, otherwise known as The Real Deal. I'm Dave Woods. That wraps up this edition of In the Country.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best in music too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting.